Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach. Because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Hello, welcome back to the Weight Loss Podcast. Last time I checked, I'm Matt. Last time I checked, you're Courtney.
Yes.
Season 12 continues. We're here today to have a chat about the fear of failure. Have you experienced this before?
Yes. Have you?
It's a rhetorical question. Fucking everyone has. So we're going to give our perspective on things, personal, professional examples of where it is reared its head.
Yes.
On us, and as we like to do, we're going to give some tips and ideas and share some experiences of what we've done and what we do to, well, I'm not going to say you ever get rid of it, but you manage it, use it to go forward. A very common issue, one of the most common issues that people have in anything, in any form of life, let alone with improving one's health and body shape and whatnot, we're just terrified of, well, I mean, let's just dive in. Like the first question here that we've got on our notes is, well, what is it? What is the fear of failure? Like, what is it in your mind?
Other than it being like self-explanatory, it's kind of hard for me to put into other words.
Okay.
It's basically just a fear. It's a fear that you would have that you are going to fail at something, and then comes like the ramifications after that. So the fear of failure, you're going to fear failing at something, and then because of that comes disappointment, all the emotions after that.
What sort of emotions have you experienced?
Well, I think that for mine, mostly it's like disappointment, anxiety.
Shame.
Shame, definitely. Those would be sort of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define it?
I would actually, from my experience, the fear of looking bad.
Mm.
So I think you're right, where it's like you've got failing and the next question will be, what the hell actually is that? But to me, it really adds up to, I don't want to look silly.
Yeah.
I don't want to look bad. And you can then extend it further to, I don't want to commit and then be shown that I'm not up to it, or I don't want to make a mistake, which plenty of people, and we've been guilty of in the past, have viewed mistakes as failure.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest issue when we talk about what is it is it can be something that is incentivizing someone to then not take action, which then becomes this weird self-fulfilling prophecy, because I'm afraid of not succeeding at this, so I just won't put any effort in and then not succeed anyway. Like,
yeah,
I'm sort of giving away what we'll talk about later on this episode, but that's sort of how I view it, at least. I think the crux of it is no one wants to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes to the next question we've got here, like, what really is failure?
Yeah.
So I think there's failure as thought of by someone who is early on in things versus what is failure to someone who's experienced and has gone through it. So let's cast our mind back to when we were younger. How do we view failure? How do you view, like, what was failure to you then versus now?
I don't know what failure would have been like to me when I was younger. I think there's always been a fear for me of looking bad. I wouldn't know what my idea of it when I was younger would have been.
Okay.
But if you talk about maybe when I first started on my sort of weight loss goals to now, I would say that my fear of failure back then would have included mistakes, would have included any mistake whatsoever.
So getting the simple thing wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely still looking bad to other people. I think because of my personality, I've always cared a lot what other people think of me.
Yeah.
So that definitely would have been there from when I was younger all the way through. But yeah, early days of weight loss for me would have definitely included any sort of mistake I would have classed as failure whatsoever.
Yep.
What else would I have? Whereas I don't feel like that now. So if we're going to compare then to now, I don't feel like every mistake is a failure now. That's probably one of the biggest changes I've noticed in myself.
What's failure now?
Failure now is literally stopping altogether. So I think failure for me is such a big thing that I try to keep it in perspective where it stays really big. Like it's not a small event. So I sort of try to reframe failure as a huge, huge catastrophic event where there's no way to continue forward.
That's how you look at it now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally the end of the road. That was what I would be considered failure. So until that happens, it's not failure.
Interesting. Explain this more. Flesh this out.
What do you mean?
You've got the wheels in my head turning. Are you talking about failing for you now is when there is no further path forward, or you've given yourself no further path forward? Or is it the same thing?
Well, I think it's probably the same thing because it's in the eye of the whole, you know what I mean?
You were there.
Yeah. I think that in the two that you just said, I think that they're kind of the same thing because it's if you feel like there's no path continuing to go forward, then there's no path, right? So but to me, it is the physical, like legitimately, can you keep trying to push forward? And you put it in perspective of something different. So if you say, like, you have a job and you get fired, there's literally nowhere else you can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't say, like, well, I'll work on it, I'll get better, I'll try again, because you've been fired. So there's nothing else.
Is there, though? There's the next thing after that.
There is the next thing after that.
And that could be one door closing for a better door to open.
You could.
So is that failure?
But then you're insinuating that there's never failure.
Yes, there is. Of course there is. It's when you give up.
So to me, I would define it as giving up, or there's literally you're on the road until there's nothing left.
Yep. I define it as giving up. Everything up to that point is attempting to find a path.
Mm.
And then if you exhaust all options and there's nothing you can do, well, it's a different story. But if you've got things in your power you can do to improve yourself or a situation and you elect not to do it, because it's all too hard, well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
So to me, failure when I was younger was looking bad.
Yeah.
Straight up. So looking bad would encompass things like, yeah, making mistakes, losing an argument, which is entirely pig-headed, given these days losing an argument means I've learned something new.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open to that. But it's the crux of it was looking bad. Being a fool, not looking like I knew what I was doing.
Yep.
These days, I just simplify it as you've quit.
Mm.
Why is this an issue? How long do we have?
Jesus.
Then again, can we sort of maybe simplify this? Like in your mind, why is this an issue?
I think if we're going to do it in the most simplest of ways, I would say this is an issue because if you fear failure, I don't know where
they're... While you're thinking, I would love to share why it's an issue. It's an issue because it fuels inaction. And it is often, people will often weaponize this fear against themselves as a reason, brackets, excuse, to just not do anything. Oh, well, it's not going to work, so I may as well not even bother. Like, okay, you big fucking baby.
I think that's a good way to put it because what I was trying to put into words and the first thing that came to mind was that if you fear it, you almost subconsciously seek it out.
Well, that's going to come up in the tip section.
Yeah.
How to know when something's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah. But
why it's an issue is because it often will be fuel to not do the thing.
Yes.
That you are afraid of doing, even though you really want to do it.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one of them. I think then the other one is why it's an issue is that people then give up too quickly.
Hell yes, they do.
Because they fear failure, but then because you fear failure so much, you equate failure with smaller things like mistakes or setbacks or, you know, whatever it might be. So I think that it's too easy then to lean into failure when it happens. Because it's always front of mind, you know, when you've got this fear of it, it's always front of mind and you're going to make the smaller things become failure.
That's a great point where you equate mistakes as failure. That is a colossal issue.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest one, potentially the biggest form of sabotage is equating mistakes as failure because, well, I mean, the camera's on and, like, there it is.
Can you read that on the camera?
Can you read that?
I can.
Read it out.
Forget the mistake, remember the lesson.
Yeah, so if you're on the audio, since we moved into this house 8 years ago, this year it'll be, I think you found that sign.
Yeah.
Courtney found this sign and we hung it up when we were setting up the office to do this very podcast. And it's... Well, now that we're on video, it's a great reminder for you, but it's always been a reminder for us the entire time. Forget the mistake, remember the lesson. And that's why one colossal reason why this fear of failure is such a big issue and such a killer is when we do categorize, as you said, Courtney, mistakes as failure, and then you think of all the mistakes that you make over the course of anything. And if you frame them all as failure, you're not going to feel too good about yourself.
No.
And we'll get into it in the tip section, but the reframing of failure is a powerful set of steps forward. And the next question we've got here for ourselves is, well, how can this backfire? How can having a fear of failure backfire? Well, the first and obvious one is you do nothing. Thus bringing about the failure you actually are afraid of anyway. But that's the biggest way it can backfire in my mind, is you do nothing. I would probably say the second biggest way is that you don't learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. I was going to say the second biggest way would have been, I think you give up too quickly, which I think is like just tied into you don't learn from your mistakes.
And then you don't learn from your mistakes then goes a level deeper again because you've given up. Because you framed mistakes as failure, thus you haven't learned from your mistakes and you then stop yourself from improving.
Yes.
You've stopped from improving from whatever the mistake is you've made. You have cut off your avenue to learn from it.
Yes.
And improve from it and take that experience forward with you and you just stay right in the same spot. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I know that was me for a very, very long time. And if I could, like, write a letter to my younger self, it would be, you're going to fuck up. That's fine. Keep going anyway.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this has been a lesson learned the hardest of ways.
Yeah.
Over time. Any other examples you can think of or things you've gone through where this has blown up in your face?
I think for me, over time, the biggest one that sticks out is just that I always would be a mental hurdle for me to not to equate mistakes as failure.
Do tell.
That was probably the biggest one for me. If I'm looking back on my personal time with weight loss, it was a really big effort for me to, every time I had a setback in terms of mistake where maybe, I don't know, something happened in my life that maybe set me back on my goals.
Like a challenge.
Yep. Or maybe I just wasn't, like, you know, you get to a certain point in time where you feel like you're not losing any more weight, like you've stagnated a bit. Or there was a time where, you know, it was hard to get to the gym, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's just those really hard moments that it was a real big, I had to really focus mentally on not considering those times failures.
Mm-hmm.
And not putting that in my mindset,
mm-hmm.
and just taking them for what they are as a mistake. It's fine. We'll keep rolling forward, kind of thing. For me, I just had to reframe failure as a concept, because failure to me was always very like final. And
which is fair, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just what classes or what constitutes failure.
So I had to try to reframe that from thinking about failure at all, really.
Okay.
But it's also very hard because, as I said, I'm very much a person who cares probably too much about what people think.
Still?
I would say probably still, not as much as I used to.
You would still call it out as an issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sort of would tie into it too, right? Because then I'd be thinking not only about me and what I'm feeling, but then I would think like, oh, you know, this person thinks that I've failed, or, you know, you can convince yourself of a lot of stuff, really.
That then spins out into a separate discussion. Is that person worth the time and energy to care about their thoughts?
Yes.
Because that should be a very small circle of people.
But, yes, so over time, that's where I've had to make the biggest changes when it comes to the concept of failure.
Yep.
Now I would say I definitely wouldn't fear failure.
No?
I see failure for what it is, and I don't necessarily fear it. But I feel like, for me, I'm never going to be totally comfortable with failure. So I feel like there's a difference, right? There's a difference between actively fearing it and just recognizing it for what it is, but also being like wary of it, because I never want to get comfortable with failure. Like, I don't want that to be like a comfortable topic for me, where I'm like, yeah, I failed at this and it's like totally fine. So I never want to get totally comfortable with the concept of failure. I always want it to still be a little bit of a final, like, really big thing that, if it, you know, if it came to that, I would have to sort of really work on. I don't want it just to be like this term that I'm totally comfortable with personally.
Yep.
I like the fact that there's still going to be just this, like, I don't know what the right word is for it, but it's not fear, but it's almost like a wariness of it. Like
consciousness?
Yeah, consciousness is probably a good word for it.
That's what I'm here for.
So now I sort of have reframed it to that. So I still think it needs to be something to be conscious of.
Yes.
But I don't fear it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's share some personal examples.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be shit scared of going to the gym. And being seen at the gym, being seen to not know what I was doing or getting things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually was partially incentive for me to go less.
Yeah.
Which years and years and years later sounds actually insane. I don't know what I'm doing at the gym, so I'm not going to go that much. And then it's like, dot, dot, dot. So how will you improve?
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was terrifying to go to the gym and be seen. One, because I was supremely obese and very self-conscious of it. And then you combine that with I don't know what the hell I'm doing in here. And then you combine that with, well, everyone else in here is in better shape than me, and they all look like they know what they're doing, and I'm just like a whale out of water.
Mm.
That was a super early example. Another one, massive fear, personally, was actually when I decided to get into the PT space.
Yeah.
Because my self-talk was, well, what if it doesn't work? What if no one likes me? What if no one listens to me? What if no one takes me seriously? What if I'm not good enough? And that was scary as fuck, and I did it anyway.
Yeah. You did.
You know? You want to share an example? I've got a few to go through here.
Of yours?
I've got a few.
Well, I would say one big one for me would be when years ago when I put it out there that we're going to do that photo shoot, There was definitely a fear of failure that crossed my mind in that.
If I recall, you cried when we're talking about that.
Yeah. So I was going years ago, I set a goal for myself to do a photo shoot in a bikini. And
I'd say that worked out well.
That was incredibly like out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
And I put it out there publicly that I was going to do it. So sort of like had to do it, really.
Put the spotlight on yourself.
And that was a battle for me in terms of coming to grips with a fear of failure on that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd it work out?
Good. I mean, I did it.
Anything else happened that you want to talk about?
Oh. Matt proposed at that photo shoot. So
it worked out quite well.
Yeah, it did work out well.
But at the time, you were shitting bricks.
Of course.
What was the scariest part or parts?
I think, like, obviously the judgment of others. Was a big one in there.
Yep.
So was I going to be in good enough shape? You know, that was always going to be a judgment, which, you know, who can say, right? But that's at the time, that's what I was thinking. They were probably my biggest fears.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did that ever subside along the way through that?
Just trying to remember back. I mean, it was a pretty long prep for that, so I think it would have, but it probably ebbed and flowed, you know, like the closer you get to it, then the more anxious you start to get again kind of thing.
How long was that?
The prep for that?
Mm.
I think it was like months. Like,
it was definitely months. Was it 6 or 9?
Maybe 6, I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say maybe 6.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been 9, but anyway, it was around there. So I definitely wouldn't have said that.
I think it was closer to 9 to 10.
I don't think, you know, for that time frame, you could have said that that stayed the whole time. So it would have been there at the start because you're putting it out there and everything. But then there would have been that lull in the middle, right, where you're just getting it done. You're not probably thinking about it as much.
Isn't that one great way to actually push that fear into the back of your mind by just getting it done?
Yeah.
And you're then more sort of focused,
orientated.
You're focused on the process, yeah. And what am I doing to take me from where I am to where I want to go?
For sure. I think, yeah. Like, once, as soon as you focus more on the task than you do on
you
the
kinda
outcome.
You kind of get immersed in the task and the task and the process.
Especially when it's over such a set period, like a longer period of time. But then obviously when it was getting closer to actually doing it, that's when it comes back up again.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be one off the top of my head that I'm thinking of.
Yep. Opening our gym scared the bejesus out of me.
Yes.
That was terrifying.
I remember.
Well, you don't know if you're going to make it work.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Like, the fear was, are we going to open this place and have no one there, which is just about what happened. But then it continues to, like, is this thing dead in the water before it even gets going? Mm-hmm. Thankfully not.
No.
It was fabulous and it worked out really well and was a tremendous experience. And hopefully for the awesome people that came to our gym, they felt the same way. They got things out of it too. I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Maybe I live in delusion land, but so be it. that scared the fuck out of me.
Yes.
Because then as well, and the actions I've taken since getting into this line of work, which is now coming up on 15 years ago, sneaky long time.
Yes.
Have been the most terrifying because there's the added consequence of if I fuck this up, like I don't live at home with mum and dad.
No.
Who are paying, who've put the roof over my head and putting food on the table for me and will give me a chop out. Like if I fuck up, I fuck up royal.
Yes.
You know, and that is super terrifying. But that's something we'll go into in the tip section. Like that drives me.
Yes.
But that was incredibly scary. Another one, which is hyper relevant to this podcast, was starting this podcast. Because all through the back of my mind, well, who's going to listen to us? Like, what have we got to offer? Which is funny, that comes after years of helping people. And there's still that voice in the back of your head. What if no one listens? What if you get bad feedback?
Mm.
What, you know, who's going to take you seriously? You used a pair of PTs. Once again, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But that was terrifying. And I think you can relate to this as well. For us, the thought of putting yourself out there was scary as fuck.
Very.
Because all of a sudden you're on display and you're open to judgment and criticism, but also, thankfully, as we've learned, wonderful feedback and praise and relationships you'd never have.
Yeah, like that was probably going to be my next example, which is for me, the start of the podcast, I was actually far less stressed about.
Really?
Yeah.
How come? Tell me about this.
Oh, I've always found the idea of the podcast fine. I think it's because it's just us talking and we're not actually, I don't know, there just seems to be like a separation between us in this room talking and people listening, and I don't have to listen to it back. I never listen to it back. But I think anytime we put ourselves out there on social media or in videos, that's where I always get that fear.
So let's bring this forward to more modern times then. How did you feel when it was like, hey, we should do video podcasts from here on out? Let's completely reconfigure this very room that we're in and set up for video. How'd that go over?
Well, you know I didn't love it.
Let's explain it though.
I didn't love the idea. I don't love being on video.
Yeah.
I don't love the idea of putting myself out there. It sounds silly because talking on podcasts is still putting yourself out there, but it's when you're on camera, it's at a different level, I think. And
explain.
I think you're just more vulnerable, really, compared to when you're just recording your voice to when you're recording yourself.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually found that doing years of audio only has made this so much easier.
Oh yeah, like if we had done this from the start, I would not have been.
I think that would have been incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Whereas I think starting from audio only definitely helped.
Because we've been super vulnerable the entire way.
Yes.
So to me, it's like I actually now that we've been doing a few episodes in of doing it like this, like I didn't even notice that you're there.
Well,
and by you, I mean the camera.
When you sit in this seat, you don't really notice the camera because it's sort of like behind.
And it's because we're just talking to each other.
Yes.
And having a conversation helps. I think it'd be different if it was just you talking to no one or having a single person conversation.
Yes. I think that definitely has helped now. I think that having a lot of that out of sight, out of mind kind of thing has also helped because I don't have to watch it. I don't have to edit the videos. I don't have to listen to us back. Nothing.
Maybe I should get you involved on that one.
Nah, I'm good. So that all works better. But, yeah, that was always a big thing for me is when we have to do videos or anything like that.
Is it purely a looking bad fear?
I think it's a looking bad fear. I think there's just this like unexplainable sense of vulnerability for me when you're putting yourself out there like that. I think a lot of people do it on social media and they do it well, and it's completely fine.
Have you considered they shit their pants too?
Well, yeah, like some people do though. Some people don't. Some people actually really enjoy it and they're really good at it, and that's completely fine. They love sharing their life. It's actually like
oversharing.
Ironic. Well, it's ironic because of what we do for a living, right? But I actually don't enjoy that part of it. Like, I don't enjoy sharing my life with everyone all the time. But it is just a part of what we do, and it's helpful. So we, like, I do it, but I would say that, like, let's put it this way. I think if I had a different job, I probably would very rarely use social media myself. Oh,
I'm the exact same.
Yeah.
I would be far less present on there.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to divvy up my social media time, I would say it's 90% work-related, 5% friends and family, and 5% funny cat videos.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably, I mean, yes, probably a fear of looking bad.
Yeah.
I just think that there's just some sort of, outside of that, there is just some sort of vulnerability to it that I do fear a little bit.
Yeah. Is it getting better?
Yeah, it's getting better.
How?
Yeah. I think that it's just an acceptance for what it is. And again, I stay off it, so then the judgment of others doesn't really seep in because I don't actually read anything that I don't that's outside of like our community. So unless it's like happening within the Weight Loss Podcast community, I don't really read anything.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps.
Well, if it's any consolation, all the external comments are how much you kick ass and how much of a dickhead I am. So it's okay.
So I think just boundaries. I think you have to set boundaries with things like that that could be potentially fearful for you. Mm-hmm. So for me, setting boundaries over the time of like what messages I choose to read and what I don't has been helpful, and what parts of my life I choose to share and what parts I don't has been helpful.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Any other examples you want to share? Times when you've been just shitting your pants at the thought of something not quite working out the way you wanted, or you failing at it?
I think the big ones just over time have been the goals I've set for myself.
Yep.
Obviously the photo shoot was a big one, but I think just in general, like, you know, I set goals to continue to better myself.
Yes.
So I think that always just comes with that slight fear of not achieving your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like you mentioned it, and I would relate to that one, which is the first time, you know, going into the gym to learn to lift weights for the first time. Like, I definitely had that as well. You know, you've
got, when we first met.
Yeah. You've got that fear of looking silly, of not being able to do it properly, of people in the gym looking at you, you know, things like that.
That worked out great. But also from my perspective, I've never seen someone who's never lifted weights before look so natural from the word go. And I'm not saying that because we're married and I'm kissing your ass. This is Matt, personal trainer Matt, talking now. I've literally never seen someone with no experience lifting weights walk in day one and look like you've been doing it for fucking years. I've never seen it like that. I've seen people take to it.
Yeah.
Not like that. You are still the personal benchmark for my experience of someone where it's like, are you sure you've never done this before? Because you fucking could have fooled me. Because from day one, it's like, oh, you just pick everything up quickly. You get the movement down pat. You get the control down pat. Like, the posture is great. Like, would you like to teach me?
Well, that's nice.
And this also can actually just circle back to how it can backfire. What if you talked yourself out of that?
Well, yeah.
So play it out, right? If you talked yourself out of that, well, we would never know that you actually kick ass at lifting weights.
Yeah. But
legitimately kick ass. Would we have met, or would things have developed further than what they did at the time?
Probably not.
Would we then live in this house? Would this podcast exist?
No.
So you see what I'm talking about, though? When we discuss like how this one thing could potentially, that the cost of inaction as a result of fearing an outcome, if you really think about it, like these little decisions that we make can be huge. So let's, I think I've pretty, for me, I've given the best examples I can. Like in the most recent years, the most recent one is definitely starting this podcast and growing it. Because then it's out in the world and you are just, you're up for judgment.
Yeah.
But it's like, you've got to do it and find out.
Yeah.
Like the thing is, I always told myself when we were setting this podcast up, no one's going to listen to us because it's a pair of PTs. You wouldn't know unless you do it.
Yeah.
You know? I'm pretty comfortable with those examples. You?
Yes. Tips.
Let's move on to some tips, insights, and potentially practical examples of how you, yes, you, see, we can now point, can help move forward with this. Because I'm still 50-50 on, do we title this episode, How to Beat Your Fear of Failure? Can you beat a fear of failure? I would almost say how you can manage it.
Yeah.
How you can make it work for you, actually, might be better, because I still fear failure now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I've beat it. And this will go straight into the tips. Like, I use it as fuel, like, to do things as opposed to doing nothing.
I think it's a good point. I don't think you're ever going to completely stop fearing it. And
please keep talking while I retitle this episode.
I also don't, as I mentioned before, I just don't think you really should ever completely be comfortable with failure. Like, I just don't think, that's something that you should ever really.
Is that a comfort zone? Is that a comfort zone thing, or is it an accepting mediocrity thing, or something of both?
Better both.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't think it's something that we should ever get completely comfortable with, the idea of failure. So it's a cross between getting comfortable with the idea of failure to me, and you're never going to completely not fear it, because fear is sometimes irrational, right?
Yes.
So we don't always have rational thought when it comes to fear.
Yes.
But I think that redefining it in general terms as something not to be feared as a concept, but to be cautious of. But I agree with you, you're never going to completely get rid of it. I would still fear it.
It's a necessary discomfort.
Yeah.
And when we talk about like redefining one's perception of failure, one thing I would say is that if you're looking at doing something, let's say you're looking at committing to a weight loss program. That sounds like the right thing to do.
Yes.
And it seems like it ticks all the boxes, but you've still just got this fucking feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, what if? I would like to say that if something feels scary enough where there's just a little bit of poo coming out, you're shitting yourself just a little bit. You with me?
Sure.
You've got that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like the butterflies, where your stomach's in knots.
Yeah, better analogy, yep.
It's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I've noticed, and this is just me talking here, but often the things that have scared me the most have been the right things to do.
Yeah, and the hardest.
Definitely the hardest, which is, I think, is where part of this fear of failure comes in. But it's never around things that wouldn't have a big impact on my life.
No.
Or me, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
So would you like to give a better example than I did?
No. Your analogy just could use some help, but that's okay. I agree with you.
Also, when we talk about redefining one's perception, it is really simple. I think if you put in your mind as just a constant reminder that failure is giving up, everything else then is an opportunity to learn and improve, especially mistakes and fucking up.
Yeah.
Because they're a chance to get better. Agreed?
Yes.
Next tip. We've got one here. Embrace the struggle. It will always be there in one form or another, and it's actually what makes you a stronger person. This is great advice. Well written.
You wrote it.
I can't remember. It was one of us.
One of us wrote it. But yes, I agree. Embrace the struggle.
Strength does not develop through a lack of challenge.
No.
It develops through difficulty and hard times and discomfort.
Yes.
So I think it's worth just as a reminder for oneself that if you are shitting bricks about failing at something, walk towards it.
Mm.
Walk towards it, own it, face it down, slay the dragon, because on the other side, you're a better person.
Yeah.
These things build you up.
Yes.
Any extra thoughts you'd add to that?
No.
What's the next one we got here?
Failure as fuel for action.
This is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, this is really what you've sort of redefined it as for yourself, isn't it?
I use my fear of failure, anything I do, as reason to keep doing it, to get good at something or to get the outcome I want.
Yeah.
Because all I think of, and this is the next tip we've got here, I weigh it against the cost of not doing the thing.
Mm.
So sure, putting myself out there and learning a new skill or investing money into something that in theory is going to better me, better us, better what we do, there is a fear there of, well, what if I'm just setting money on fire?
Yeah.
What if I'm just wasting time?
Yeah.
What if I don't get what I want out of this? What if I'm not ready for this? What if I'm not good enough? Well, I weigh all that against the cost of literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
Which means all that's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
Yes.
So you blaze ahead.
Mm.
So I know for me, I'm always scared of, what if this doesn't work?
Yeah.
What if I screw this up? Well, I'll just learn from it.
Yeah.
I'll learn, they'll make me better, and eventually I will get what I want. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely like that's the attitude that I feel like is desirable. I don't think I'm quite there yet. I don't think it fuels me the same way that it fuels you.
Does it fuel you at all though?
But yeah, it does.
How?
Failure. Or the fear of it, should I say?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I've got to the point in my life where I think the cost of an action is what I really think of, is that weighing up of, okay, does the fear that I'm feeling, is it going to put me off from doing it? And if I don't do it, what are the ramifications from that? So I think having that perspective to sort of step back and be able to think, okay, I don't want to do this. That's probably not going to change. But if I don't do it anyway, if I don't push through and just do it, what's going to happen? What are the consequences for that? And I think also my mindset over time has changed from convincing myself like, oh, no, it's good. You know, all this is good. Just be positive. All this bullshit like that. It's like if I decide to do something and I'm struggling with a fear of failure or just a fear in general of it, I'm just going to still say to myself, yeah, this sucks. Sometimes it's okay to do something and it just suck. And it just doesn't feel good to do it. But the outcome is worth it.
Mm.
So that's the other thing that I've sort of reframed is I'm not trying to convince myself to always be positive all the time or trying to find a positive spin on everything. Sometimes it's allowed to just be shit. And I'm worth it, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the whole feeling of the fear of failure is going to go away, or the whole fear in general, fear of something happening, is going to go away. And sometimes I just spend less time, less emotional energy trying to change that perception. To me, it's just more emotional energy wasted, where I could just accept it for what it is and put all that emotional energy into trying to make the outcome work.
That there, I think, goes into, and this is actually its own tip, isn't it? Like the outcome has to be worth it.
Yeah.
The thing that you're working towards has to be worth the effort.
Yeah. And often it is, because that's where the fear of failure will come up, right? Because it's often, as you've pointed out, comes up on those really big important things, right? Mm-hmm. So the bigger the goal, often the fear of not achieving it will come in. So it is usually a big goal, but I think it definitely has to be meaningful enough where you actually want it enough that you're going to overcome that.
Well, not, I think it's going to be meaningful enough where you're going to embrace a level of discomfort that you normally would be hesitant to do.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, I think it's fully reasonable for someone to be like, hey, the thought of doing this really fills me with anxiety.
Yeah.
And scares me. And it's like, you know what? That sounds normal to me.
Yeah.
Is the destination a big enough deal where you're going to accept that anyway?
Mm.
If the answer is yes, and obviously it's a pretty big thing you're working towards, and you should probably go and do it.
Yeah.
Because generally you tend to find as well, when you're working towards things that are ultra important to you, you are going to do everything you can to find a way.
Mm.
Whatever it takes. You know?
Yes. I agree.
Anything else you'd like to add here?
I think that's it for me.
Yeah.
I think we've crossed that off pretty well.
I think just the one thing I probably wouldn't mind closing on is that even when you get very experienced with this, if you still have that some sort of fear of failing at whatever you're doing in the pit of your stomach, there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
It's extremely normal. I think what will set you apart is what happens from there.
Yeah.
Is that going to be something that you harness to propel you forward? And then you get to the other side and you realize, oh, wasn't that bad?
Yeah.
Wasn't that big of a thing that I built it up in my mind to be. Often whatever the outcome is, especially if someone wants to improve how they look, how they function, how they feel, you take this, it is a series of mountains that you need to climb to do that. But you make them out to be insurmountable, colossal,
yes,
unclimbable giga mountains.
Yes.
That once you get up there, you realize, oh, actually,
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad because you're getting better at what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'll probably would like to bring this episode to a close. This is just, I'm going to share a bit of internal dialogue that I have with myself when it comes to this that I do these days. When I fear a failure or a negative outcome, fuck your feelings, do it anyway.
Mm.
If it's important to you, do it anyway. That's all I got.
Fair enough. Well, on that, let's finish this up.
Do we officially...
Are we closing?
Is it time?
Is this what we do now?
I mean, we've done it every single episode we've recorded so far. We're so
closing
I'm going to say
laptops
yes, it is.
At the same time.
Bang.
Very official.
Right. We're done. Come and join us at our Facebook group.
Yes.
We are on facebook.com. if you search for...
The Weight Loss Podcast.
See the sign behind me?
Yes.
The Weight Loss Podcast. Come and hang out at our Facebook group. We're in there, other fans of the show, other like-minded people. It's always good to be around others that are on a similar journey to us. It can help to normalize things. Yes. So if you are on facebook.com and you are not in that group, I question your life choices.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll handle this one today.
Okay.
You just chill out. We love feedback. Email us, please. Thoughts, questions, abuse for this one. What's our email address? podcast@theweightlosspodcast.com. Can I never say it? So
you've got it today.
Apparently I do. Yeah. So email us podcast@weightlosspodcast.com. Other than that, we are done. Thank you for joining. Hopefully this has given some sort of insight and or value. If not, well, hey, blame us. We're the ones.
We'll try again next week.
Yeah. Well, no, we're going to give up and go away because we failed.
We'll try again next week.
If this didn't help, we're canceling the podcast. We failed. Podcast is over.
That's it.
Send that one out. See you next week. Bye for now.
Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.